On Broncos, your daily podcast on the Denver Broncos, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to another edition of Locked On Broncos. This is your host, Cody Rourke, and the Broncos are victorious on this beautiful Tuesday evening here in Colorado. Last night, they defeated the Los Angeles Chargers 24-21 in a nail-biter game that was made very interesting and very stressful late. We'll break down the game in just a few moments, but we want to thank you for joining us here on Locked On Broncos, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. So I got a couple of promotional things I want to talk about real quick before we get started with the show. We're going to analyze the game, break it down, cover the quarterback play, running back play, wide receivers, defense, and obviously a lot of other key notes we're going to touch base on in today's edition of Locked On Broncos. But before we dive into the major topics of tonight's show, obviously with last night's game against the Los Angeles Chargers on Monday Night Football, I want to tell you guys about some really cool promotional stuff we have going on over here at the Locked On Podcast Network. And that starts with a lot of different things. Obviously, I announced on Twitter that there's a contest coming up where you're going to have to answer three trivia questions that I come up with, and that I'll release on Twitter and obviously on the show. So you have to be listening to the show in order to be eligible for it, obviously, to know the answers and know the questions from what I'm, you know, what I will ask you. I will answer and I will ask this question on Friday's episode of Locked On Broncos, the three questions. And the first person to tweet me at Locked On Broncos and at Cody Rourke NFL, the answer, the correct answers to these first three questions that I have, you will join me on an edition of Locked On Broncos next week here live on the Locked On Podcast Network. Very excited about that. I believe you guys, your voice and your feedback is very important. And obviously, last night I really valued interacting with all of you Broncos fans and listeners of the show during the game, obviously at Cody Rourke NFL and a little bit over at Locked On Broncos. It's kind of hard to switch back and forth between the two accounts, but the feedback, the engagement was absolutely phenomenal. I was very grateful for it. And so once again, I have to remind you fans that you guys are the best fans in the world at listening to sports, and I value your feedback and your opinions very much. So please tweet me at Cody Rourke NFL, at Locked On Broncos, and obviously head over to iTunes and leave a review. Speaking of heading over to iTunes and leaving a review, you Locked On Broncos fans and listeners, you are eligible if you want a subscription to Pro Football Focus. Get an edge subscription to what they have access for you. You had the chance to win a free account right now here on Locked On Broncos, and I'm going to tell you what you need to do it. So in order for you to qualify for one Pro Football Focus edge subscription, which is valued at $39.99, you will receive NFL player grades, snap counts, and position ranks, obviously fantasy projections, rankings, tools, and charts, NFL draft coverage, which gives you the tools to make the necessary adjustments for what needs need to fit your team the most going forward, with Pro Football Focus files and stats, obviously Pro Football Focus fantasy, DFS, and NFL draft articles, as well as team and player pages featuring Pro Football Focus stats, where you can get all the latest coverage of the Denver Broncos, player snap counts, and efficiency over at Pro Football Focus. It's an absolutely phenomenal deal that we got going on you. And you, as a fan of Locked On Broncos, can absolutely qualify this by going to iTunes right now, leaving a review for Locked On Broncos, and be sure in the review to include your Twitter handle in the review. And each week, the Locked On Podcast Network will select a random winner from those that left reviews, and you may qualify to receive a free Pro Football Focus edge subscription. You want the best game-changing stats, analysis, and obviously analytics, the way the game has evolved? Pro Football Focus has you covered. You can get that right here on Locked On Broncos. So obviously, climbing into it, the Denver Broncos kicked off their season last night against the Los Angeles Chargers in a 24-21 victory. And obviously, yesterday on the pregame show, we had John Gennaro over at Locked On Chargers. And, you know, to be honest with you, when I was watching the game, and I went over a film today, and I'm going to go over film again this weekend before we play the Dallas Cowboys on Sunday, I looked at a lot of things, and I was really impressed. I came away impressed with a lot of things that I've seen, specifically with the quarterback play in Trevor Siemian. And I'll get to that in just a moment. But when I look at the game last night, and I'll give you my quick rundown before I dive, you know, I take a deep dive into the statistical, analytical process of breaking down the game. And last night, the Denver Broncos played a great three quarters. They played phenomenally for three quarters. Now, the offensive line, I still think, has a lot of struggles on the right side, obviously at right tackle with Menelik Watson. And obviously, I think that Ronald Leary's concussion is not a good sign for the Denver Broncos, and I hope that he'll be able to play this upcoming weekend against the Dallas Cowboys. Cowboys, because that's going to be a tough test with the Cowboys coming to town. Not sure if Ezekiel Elliott will be suspended or not. The likelihood of him playing is probably about 80-20 in favor of him playing. And obviously Dak Prescott, you got the weapons, and Dez Bryant, obviously Cole Beasley, Jason Witten. You got a lot of weapons from this Dallas Cowboys offense, and so the defense has come ready to play. But obviously with a short turnaround with the Monday night game, you get a Tuesday day off. Now Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and maybe even a Saturday walkthrough. Now you have practice for 3 days, walkthrough on Saturday, and then obviously it's game time, go time, obviously on Sunday, 2:25 p.m. Mountain Time, for the Denver Broncos against the Dallas Cowboys. They come to town for the Mile High Showdown. America's team versus apparently the Denver Broncos, who, in my opinion, overtook them as America's team going forward. So I have my differing opinions, obviously, about that. But when I look at the game last night, and I really want to hear what you guys as fans have to say. I gauged feedback a little bit this morning. I want to hear it more. Obviously, tweet me at Cody Rourke NFL and at Locked On Broncos with your feedback. But what were your thoughts on the game? I'm going to give you my takeaways real quick. For three quarters, the Denver Broncos looked very improved from what we saw from them last year, and obviously improved play at the quarterback position. And I tell you what, outside of one throw where Trevor Siemian threw this pass that looked like it had the potential to be a pick six and the guy dropped it, Trevor Siemian came out after that and was slinging the ball. And he was threading the needle to tight ends, Jeff Heuerman. And obviously he laid a really nice throw to Virgil Green late. But he was very efficient. And one thing that I saw that really impressed me with Trevor Siemian last night was his ability on third down to convert and move the chains and have confidence. And that's something we never really got to see from him last year. Obviously, last year was his first year as a starting quarterback. But now he looks a little more comfortable. What I saw from Trevor Siemian last night, and I looked over Twitter, and there were people who all summer long, you know, didn't really necessarily have a lot of faith in Trevor Siemian or believe in what Trevor Siemian could do. They were turned into somewhat believers. And it wasn't because he did anything really spectacular. He was consistent. He was confident. And he threw the ball really, really well. And he showed a lot of poise in the pocket. Now, the only areas where I think Trevor Siemian struggled was obviously when pass protection broke down. Joey Bosa got to him twice. Menelik Watson alone surrendered four total sacks that Trevor Siemian had to take. Trevor Siemian had a really, really good ball that he threw to Emmanuel Sanders. It was a little bit overthrown, but it hit Emmanuel Sanders in the hands, and he couldn't quite finish it. They went on, obviously, on a free play to go and spin out to find Benny Fowler for a touchdown, who scored his first touchdown in the second quarter, and obviously he'd come with a second touchdown catch later on in the game. And I tell you what, I see this is the Benny Fowler we've been looking for. Obviously, we heard a lot of great reports last year out of training camp that Benny Fowler was looking like one of the most impressive Denver Broncos. He goes into week one preseason game against Chicago of last year, gets injured, and from that point, Benny Fowler kind of declined a little bit last year. I don't think he was completely, truly healthy. And he struggled in big games last year. He had obviously a big touchdown catch against the Chiefs. However, he had several key drops, game-winning potentially drops that he had obviously against Tennessee and late in overtime against the Chiefs on the Sunday night football loss that they had. But Benny Fowler looked pretty dang good last night. Trevor Siemian looked pretty dang good last night. And I'm going to go in right now and I'm going to break down the stats. Obviously, Trevor Siemian came to the game completing, you know, well over in a lot of his completion percentage was pretty high. He completed 17 of 28 passes for 219 yards. He threw for two touchdowns and he ran for a touchdown where he broke Joey Bosa's ankles. And we saw a little bit of what we saw from Trevor Siemian in the preseason. We actually saw him step up when the pocket collapses on the outside and he steps up underneath and runs the ball. He rushed for quite a few yards, not a lot, but he scored a touchdown with it, and he also moved the chain several times when it was second or third down, and he created space with his feet, obviously extended the play a little bit. The Denver Broncos' run game was okay. In my opinion, they got off to maybe a little bit of a slow start, and they didn't really have the game that we're used to seeing from the Denver Broncos running backs, obviously, that we've seen from the past, but I can't be picky. And the reason I can't be picky is because C.J. Anderson came into the game with 20 carries for 81 yards. Now, a good majority of C.J. Anderson's carries, he didn't really hit the hole hard, or he didn't have that bounce on, obviously, on a first down rushing play. And that was kind of concerning. But then again, that's only the first game. And when I look at the NFL in week one, I look at all these NFL fans, all these team fans, that look at how their team played in week one, and the overreactions begin. And I'm not going to do that with the Denver Broncos. I was pretty upset. I was pretty frustrated last night, obviously, in the fourth quarter and a little bit after the game, because the way the game was going, it shouldn't have been as close as it was. It should have been at least maybe 37-7. You know, based on how the game was going. But I'll get to that in just a moment. C.J. Anderson carried the ball 20 times for 81 yards, picked up some key first downs, but also struggled a lot on first down with rushing the ball. Jamaal Charles came in with 10 carries, 40 yards, but the key note for Jamaal Charles is he had a fumble, and upon review, I mean, they reviewed it, and they really didn't have enough evidence to really overturn it, but Jamaal Charles, when the Los Angeles Chargers were making their comeback, had a very, very key fumble, and I'll explain that whole entire sequence of events in just a moment, but we're going down the stat sheet here. Demaryius Thomas, 5 catches, 67 yards. Emmanuel Sanders, 3 catches, 26 yards. He caught a quick hitch, and he obviously ran 50 yards to gain 20 yards. Very impressive play. And then obviously Virgil Green had a huge catch in the fourth quarter with a one reception, 44-yard play by him and Trevor Siemian. It was a beautiful throw. And unfortunately, on the next three plays, there was nothing for Trevor Siemian to go, as obviously he faced a tremendous pass rush, and he got sacked twice in a row, which took the Broncos pretty much into deep field goal range where Brandon McManus missed it. And I'm going to explain that segment. I'm going to explain that sequence of events in just a moment. But defensively, guys who stood out to me, obviously, Shaquille Barrett. Shaquille Barrett obviously suffered a hip injury, you know, throughout the summer, throughout OTAs and training camp. And what happened was, going forward, he really...
Okay, keep your eyes closed.
Okay.
I want to show you my first ever painting.
All right.
Okay. Open your eyes.
Oh, that's a lot of colors and shapes.
So be honest. What do you think?
Well, I like how if you switch to Geico, you could save hundreds of dollars on car insurance.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Here, why don't I hold your paintbrush while you call them?
Geico, because saving 15% or more on car insurance is always a great answer.
He surprised me because he had this explosiveness to him where I really, truly did not know how he would play. Obviously not having any preseason reps and not getting a lot of time, but he came back into practice a couple weeks ago, and he looks great. His hip rehab looks like he never actually suffered a hip injury. He was very elusive, and he was explosive. And while Von Miller never really registered a sack on Phillip Rivers, Von Miller and Shaquille Barrett last night caused absolute havoc in terms of creating pressure. Now, they were held quite a bit, but which NFL pass rusher isn't held by the tackles that they go up against in the NFL? Not a lot of those plays were called. Obviously, I think Russell Okung held the crap out of Von Miller and Shaq Barrett in certain important phases of the game, but more importantly, you know, the Los Angeles Chargers, the San Diego. It's going to be hard getting used to calling them that. But the Los Angeles Chargers really couldn't capitalize it. And obviously the pressure off the edge when they ran a smoke blitz with the Sam and obviously the outside backers with which are Shaquille Barrett and Von Miller. They got quick pressure off the edge, which forced Phillip Rivers to throw several incompletions on third down. Obviously late in the game on a third down play when obviously they had a chance to kind of throw the ball into the end zone and maybe test the Denver Broncos DBs and maybe potentially get a game-winning touchdown. Von Miller, Shaquille Barrett off the edge, very quick, tailback out of the backfield. Phillip Rivers had to just chuck it up, incomplete. Denver has to settle to hopefully stopping them on a field goal attempt. Obviously, icing the kicker for the first time, calling a timeout. And then obviously the second time, Shelby Harris, the GOAT, the guy in the middle who played a phenomenally stellar game defensively for the Denver Broncos in stopping the run. Shelby Harris came through, and he blocked the kick. He blocked the field goal, and for the second year in a row, the Denver Broncos open at home on a primetime game with a blocked field goal or a missed field goal late. It's a pretty, pretty beautiful thing when I look back at it. I was very stressed, obviously, and I'll tell you why. The Denver Broncos were up going into the fourth quarter, 24-7, and they were dominating in all phases, offense, defense, special teams. Enter the fourth quarter, and all you have to do here is be conservative. All you have to do is manage the clock here, control the ball, not turn the ball over, and be smart. And obviously run the clock down, have your defense come out and control it, get pressure on the quarterback. Things are simple. You go home with a big win. Things didn't really go out that way. things went absolutely the complete opposite, and it was very frustrating as a fan to kind of almost see the kind of collapse that the Atlanta Falcons nearly had. And it was a big collapse. Obviously, it was a big letdown. You let the guys back into it. And I'll tell you what led to that. Obviously, on the Denver Broncos' next ensuing drive, obviously heading into the fourth quarter, they had the ball. And Trevor Siemian goes to throw a screen to Benny Fowler. But Benny Fowler is tackled by the corner past the line of scrimmage. The corner is holding him, pretty much tackling him. The ball comes through, bounces off Benny Fowler. They roll to the ground, and the ball gets kicked up into the air and intercepted, and they're not going to throw a flag. They didn't throw a flag, and so obviously San Diego gets the ball in Bronco territory, and they have a good field position. They go on to throw a touchdown, and that gives them a little bit closer. So now the score is 24-14. Well, the next drive that the Denver Broncos have, Jamaal Charles fumbles the ball. The Chargers pick it back up. Denver Broncos defense stops them. Luckily, the next play on the ensuing drive, Trevor Siemian throws a 44-yard pass to Virgil Green, gets them down in the red zone, obviously plus 15 yards with a face mask penalty. So the Denver Broncos are cooking. They look like they're about to go up another touchdown here. Well, the offensive line couldn't hold, and obviously Joey Bosa, Melvin Ingram had a field day off of Menelik Watson and Connor McGovern late in the game. You know, both registered two sacks each on Menelik Watson mainly, and that took the Denver Broncos into deep field position where they had to settle for a 50-yard field goal where Brandon McManus legitimately kicked the ball wide right. And at that point, I'm looking at the TV, and I'm probably cursing at myself. I'm looking at how things are going, and I'm frustrated. And I'm thinking, no, we cannot lose this game. Obviously, I stayed up late, and most of you guys stayed up late to watch the game too. I applaud you. It's worth it when the Denver Broncos win. It's frustrating when they don't. But the things that were going through my head is we were up 24-7, and we blew this lead. I do not understand why. In the NFL, obviously, one play can change the momentum of an entire game, and it was that pick, in my opinion, that really set the tone for the Los Angeles Chargers gaining momentum, and obviously Jamaal Charles fumbling the ball. Those were key plays that really turned the tide of the game, and all the momentum got taken out of the air of the Denver Broncos, and the Los Angeles Chargers had everything going for them. So, the next play after the missed field goal, Phillip Rivers connects on a 52-yard touchdown pass to, obviously, Kelvin Benjamin, a speedy guy who busted the coverage, obviously, with Darian Stewart trying to cover. Couldn't get over the top. Touchdown, 52 yards. And now we're at a score of 24-21 with about 4 or 5 minutes left in the game, and you've got the Denver Broncos holding on by three. Well, the Denver Broncos offense goes three and out, has to punt the ball, and obviously with 2 minutes left and a two-minute warning with no timeouts, you have Phillip Rivers leading the ball down the field, and sure, they did it. They struggled a little bit in spurts, but then all of a sudden, Phillip Rivers throws the ball downfield, and there's a pass interference call on Bradley Roby, and they move them automatically into field goal range. Denver Broncos defense gets two stops in a row. Okay, now it's fourth down. There's about 5 seconds left. The Los Angeles Chargers kicker comes out, and he's got an 88% career completion percentage on field goals, I believe. And right before he kicks the ball, Vance Joseph calls a timeout. So, yeah, we've been here before. Deja vu. Primetime game, icing the kicker. And then the next time, he comes out and he lines up, and Shelby Harris creates penetration up the B gap through the guard's shoulder, gets his hand up, and blocks the ball. Denver Broncos win the game in dramatic fashion once again. Obviously, I love the win. I absolutely love the win. But the thing that really concerned me is just the overall consistency. The Denver Broncos played really well for three quarters and had an absolutely meltdown in the fourth, which concerns me going forward, obviously, with an electric offense and a powerful defense that the Dallas Cowboys bring to the table come Sunday in Denver at Mile High. 2:25 p.m. kickoff. I worry about those weapons a little bit because it seemed like the Denver Broncos had some rust and really had a hard time finishing. And obviously, the game was filled with drama. It was dramatic. It was hard to watch in the fourth quarter because things were just not going well for the Denver Broncos. However, Denver weathered the storm once again, and that's what we call resiliency, and that's a confidence builder in the NFL. A lot of it is confidence builder for defenses, for the Denver Broncos. So I do think that will bode well in their favor. Obviously, we cannot look at how a team played one week and assume that they're going to play similar or even close to what they played the previous week. So that bodes well in the favor of the Denver Broncos. Denver Broncos have a chance to come out here and play really well against an NFC opponent, an NFC rival that they've had a history with before. You've got America's proclaimed team, and you've got the Denver Broncos, who over the years have been one of the most prominent franchises in the National Football League since John Elway took it over. My biggest concern last night was, obviously, I think coaching. Obviously, you know, Vance Joseph, Joe Woods were getting very comfortable with coaching. I looked at everything, and I feel like Mike McCoy is maybe the most comfortable because he's had experience calling plays before. And Vance Joseph, obviously being a coordinator, has had experience calling plays. But defensively, Joe Woods did a very good job last night. However, there were instances late in the game where there were coverage breakdowns. I don't know if that's simply on communication. Two of those touchdown passes seemed like there was some miscommunication on the play. But I do not know. I'll have to go back through all 22 film, and we'll review that next week here on Locked On Broncos, as well as the Cowboys game. But the thing that really killed the Denver Broncos in the fourth quarter was turnovers, obviously the fumble and the faux interception, and they just came out flat in the fourth quarter. They had no momentum, no energy. The offensive line, they really, really struggled in pass protection. They gave up a lot of sacks and a lot of pressures. Matt Paradise and I believe Ronald Leary and Garrett Bowles had actually a pretty good game. Garrett Bowles gave up a sack, but outside of that, him, Leary, and Matt Paradise gave up the less pressures on the quarterback and gave Trevor Siemian time to throw. That right there impresses me. Now I'm worried about the right tackle spot. I want to know what you guys are thinking. Are you worried about the Denver Broncos at right tackle, obviously with Malik Watson, and in a division full of pass rushers? Tweet me your thoughts at Cody Rourke NFL, at Locked On Broncos. Now, another thing is Brandon McManus signed a 4-year contract extension the same day, Monday Night Football, same day, and he missed a 50-yard field goal with really no pressure. I felt like after watching it, I think he rushed himself. I don't know if it was a play clock thing, but why not call a timeout if you're unsure? Instead, he boots it wide right. They score pretty much on the ensuing play, and that right there took all the momentum out. Now, I give my game ball to Shelby Harris, who played really well in stopping the run for the Denver Broncos. The defense actually played pretty phenomenal. Bradley Roby had an amazing interception. There were several pass interference calls that I didn't agree with. And obviously, late in the game, I didn't think Bradley Roby interfered with Phillip Rivers' pass, obviously with the receiver's route, unfortunately. So that kind of scared me a little bit that Denver, you know, Denver's been in these heart-racing games as of late, and it seems common nowadays where the Denver Broncos are in these games where their viewers are more likely to suffer from a heart attack. And I was there, and it was like 11:45 p.m. Mountain Time, and I'm sitting there, my girlfriend's asleep, I'm sitting there covering the game, writing down all my notes, and obviously tweeting at the same time, and frustration is creeping in, and I'm a very vocal person, I'm very competitive, so of course I'm yelling at the TV in phases. It's 11 o'clock, girlfriend's getting upset, but you know what, it's worth it. It's Denver Broncos football. It's absolutely what I would do over and over and over again. Now, when Shelby Harris came through, huge, after Vance Joseph called a timeout to try to ice the Los Angeles Chargers kicker, he came out on the next play, blocked it, won the game, and that was huge for the Denver Broncos. But I tell you what, there are a lot of things that I look at with the Denver Broncos, and there are major improvements, and obviously it's at number one is at the quarterback position and quarterback play. I think the running game is going to have a little more solidarity, but more importantly, the Denver Broncos got tight ends involved quite a bit in their offense, and Benny Fowler had a very great game, and Trevor Siemian showed me that we have not yet seen his ceiling. He has a ton of potential as a player, and that in and of itself excites me for what may be ahead. However, Trevor Siemian cannot keep taking the hits that he's been taking in this game. The offensive line has to shore up on communication with pass protection and making sure that they protect their quarterback, because he cannot survive the 16-17 game, even extended run of the playoffs, with getting hit by some of the NFL's fiercest pass rushers, linebackers, blitzing nickel safeties, whatever it may be. You have to protect your quarterback. So, tweet me your thoughts at Cody Rourke NFL and at Lockdown Broncos, and be sure to head over to iTunes right now and go over there. Leave a review. Leave your Twitter name if you want a Pro Football Focus subscription. If you want to be entered in the running for a potentially free and advanced membership with Pro Football Focus, go to iTunes right now. Go to Lockdown Broncos. Leave a review. rate the show, leave your Twitter handle, tell us what you think about it, and obviously tell us why you think you should win the Pro Football Focus Edge subscription as well. And obviously head on over to Pro Football Focus. They have a lot of great stats, a lot of great infomercials about what they have to offer in the latest game of football analytics, as it's ever-changing, it's game-changing, it's absolutely amazing. And make sure you add Locked On Broncos into your top five podcast. When you need Denver Broncos news and NFL news, where are you going to go? Do you go to the internet, or do you go to, obviously, if you're stuck in traffic, you're heading to work, or you're heading back from work, or it's lunchtime and you got nothing to do, you got that 2 o'clock feeling, do you listen to Locked On Broncos? If so, please put us in your top five of podcasts that you listen to, because it's very influential. And they say that the top five podcasts you listen to influence your mindset. So if you love Denver Broncos football, Locked On Broncos, we have you covered here with the latest breaking news, analysis, and matchup coverage that you could possibly get in all of the sports world right now. Rocky Mountains, Mile High City, Denver Broncos, 24/7. Obviously, outside of Orange and Blue 760, great station. Obviously, love Tyler Palumbis, Andy Lind all over there. But we have you covered over here. Locked On Broncos, hosted by Cody Rourke. And obviously, I value you guys. We're going to have guests here on the show soon. Former Denver Broncos safety, Nick Ferguson. Hope to have him here very shortly here on Locked On Broncos. But like I said, you fans make the show. Tweet me your thoughts on tonight's episode. And obviously, stay tuned, because on Friday's episode, I will announce the three questions that you Twitter users that listen to the show, wherever you are, have to contact me. And the first person to get the three answers right correctly first, you will be joining me on an episode of Locked On Broncos next week, covering the Dallas Cowboys game aftermath, and obviously analyzing the Buffalo Bills matchup that the Denver Broncos will have in week 3. Like I said, we hope to keep you covered with everything Denver Broncos related. This is your host, Cody Rourke, saying good night and go Broncos.